Unusual text for a reading for Sunday morning sermon, wasn't it? Not your typical text. And yet, there is something that's taking place here that really does fit us. It applies to us. And I know that's going to sound strange, but until I explain it. In the text this morning, offerings were being made by the children of Israel for the building of the tabernacle and all the stuff, all the things that were to go in it, all the furnishings and the instruments of worship that were going to be used by the children of Israel in their worship of God. And so God told them to give of these items. If you have these things, give them. And the people gave and gave and gave. And God's tabernacle was built exactly according to His specifications. All the furnishings were built exactly as God had told them, and they worshiped God. The presence of God entered into the tabernacle, and they worshiped their God. In the New Testament church, Jesus Christ has also instructed us to give. Now, you think I'm talking about money this morning. Money is certainly a part of it, but no, I'm not talking about money this morning. The Lord's church has been instructed to give, and I'm going to tell you folks at Tanner, you do give, and in so many ways. I have to commend you. This is a good church. That now, we're not perfect. We're a church made up of imperfect people, and we do a pretty good job on some things, and some things we're not doing such a good job at, but we're trying. All of us are trying. And I know that. I believe that with all my heart. But God has given the church a mission. And you know what that mission is. It's made up of three words. The mission of the church: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. And this church is involved in all of the work of the church. This congregation has itself tied up in these three interconnected parts of the church's work. As we talk about evangelism, we recognize what the Lord said in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, when He said, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." We all know that this is the primary responsibility of the Lord's church, proclaiming the gospel to a lost and dying world. That is what we have been, that's the assignment we have been given. We have that responsibility. And as a congregation, this church has helped to send many missionaries into the world to do just that. I know that to be true since I'm one of them. It is imperative that we continue to do that. We must continue to send men and women, when it's appropriate, into the world to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. We must continue to do that. We must also continue to preach the gospel in the world around Tanner. We must do that. There must be balance, brethren. We've got to send funds overseas, but we've also got to spend funds here. Now, spending money does not mean salvation for anybody, does it? Spending money does not guarantee the gospel is going to be preached, and it certainly doesn't guarantee that people are going to be saved. Spending money is not the answer, but it is part of the equation. It is an essential part of the process. It takes funds to buy materials, books like Muscle and the Shovel. It takes funds to buy these correspondence courses and postage to mail them. It takes funds to operate the internet website for this congregation, which, by the way, now has more than 5 million hits since its inception. The TannerChurchOfChrist.org is by far one of the most popular websites among churches of Christ anywhere in the world. Yeah. So this is a very effective tool for evangelism, and it's doing a good job. It is working. But we have more work to do. There are several who are doing what they can to teach the lost on a local way. There's Bible courses that are being done. The jail ministry is being done. Folks are inviting people to services. In fact, I see we've got a lot of guests with us today. We are thankful that you're here. We really appreciate you getting up this morning and getting ready and coming over here to worship God with us. We know you're here to worship God. We're honored that you've chosen to come and worship God with us at Tanner. We're thankful for your presence. Hope you feel comfortable. Hope that you're enjoying this time of worship as we worship God together. But as a congregation, we all need to be challenged. And God gives us a challenge. He challenges the church at Tanner, including me, to do a better job of reaching out in an effort to study with friends, in an effort to reach family and friends and neighbors with the gospel of Christ. We have to remember that people are lost. Thank you so much. I know my voice is a little rough this morning. Thank you. This storm front, or this weather front that went through here, has just played havoc with a lot of folks and with their sinuses and such. So thank you for your patience. We all need to be challenged to do a better job of being more aggressive in taking the gospel to people that are not right with God. All of us need to be more effective, more aggressive in that. I preached a sermon earlier this year reminding us that those that are outside the body of Jesus Christ are lost. And we've got to remember that. And I'm not trying to say that we're better than anybody else, because we're certainly not. But we've got to recognize that God blessed us by granting us the gift of salvation. He blessed us with the opportunity to hear His gospel. And we have a responsibility to share that message with people, because people outside of Christ are lost. There is no hope for a person to go to heaven unless Jesus is both their Savior and their Lord. They have no chance. They have no opportunity. There is no possibility for folks to go to heaven if they are not Christians, if they are not children of God. And so we've got a responsibility to help people, that because so many people around us are misguided and confused in this very community about relationship with God, about the relationship of the church, about the identity of the church, and the doctrine that we are to follow. So here's your challenge when it comes to evangelism. Brothers and sisters at Tanner, do your part. Do your part. Look for any way you can to encourage someone to be a child of God. Look for any way you can to invite them to services, either participate in the Bible Correspondence Course. We desperately need more teachers. We got in today from yesterday's mail. I got it this morning, and there was at least 8 or 9 more Bible Correspondence Courses. We're averaging 5 a day. 5 courses a day coming in that have to be graded, and that number continues to increase. They're coming in from the jail, they're coming in from the website, they're coming in from all over the world. And so we need people, ladies and gentlemen, who are willing to sit down and answer these Bible courses, and we will provide you training to do that. But we need people to help step up and be ready to help, to take a student or 2 or 3 or 10 and grade those courses when they come in and correspond with those students so that they can learn about how to be saved. So they can learn about the Lord and His demands, His requirements, but His gift of eternal life. So they can learn about Him and His church. So here's the challenge. Do your part. Then we have the matter of edification, or the growth of God's church. The maturity of Christians, the development of mature Christian men and women. One of the things that mamas and daddies do for their babies is they teach them how to feed themselves. You know, there are many parts of the process of growing up. You know, learning how to bathe yourself, learning how to care for your body. You know, there's all kinds of things. Learning how to tie your shoe, learning how to brush your teeth. But one of the key elements for a child is to learn how to feed him or herself. And you know, we'll, a lot of times we start off with these little Cheerios because they're so easy to grab hold of, you know? Those children just love grabbing those little Cheerios, and they do this. They get everywhere at first, but eventually they get pretty good at getting most of those things in their mouth, don't they? They learn to feed themselves, but it's awkward at first. Can you imagine a child giving a child chicken noodle soup with no crackers in it and a spoon and saying, feed yourself? Oh, what a mess there will be. There's a growing process, a learning curve. Well, the same is true with edification, the growth of the church. This refers to building up or helping the members of the church to grow. And that's both locally and in far off places. This is one thing that these Bible courses do. Even after a person becomes a Christian, there are courses they can take that help them to grow in Christ. And that's one of the things we continue to need teachers to help us with, helping the church to grow. Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 through 14, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Peace, or be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Do you know what these instructions are directed to? Do you know to whom they're directed? They are directed to church members dealing with other church members. It's directed to church members in how they deal with other church members. He says, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Now, I would like to add an H in front of that all. Be patient with all, too. Okay? Because we all need people to be patient with us because we're going to make mistakes. But we need to be patient with each other. But the challenge is that we do what we can to encourage, to build up the local church, to help each other to grow, to help each other get closer to God just a little bit more today than we were yesterday, and then a little bit more tomorrow than we were today. And we continue to grow and to develop, to stretch ourselves to become more and more like Jesus. This too, you are doing here at Tanner, and you have been doing for a long time. There are fellowship gatherings, there's visiting that goes on, there's so many ways in which you share. There's good deeds that you are doing, and you're being a good example before the brethren. But we also have more that we can do. We have assisted other congregations, but we can do more. There's so much more work that needs to be done, but some have not participated like they should. Some have sat back and let others do. We desperately need more people to teach, more people to be involved in Sunday school and Wednesday night classes. We need more people that will take the time to have somebody to your house who's a new Christian and mentor them, love them, befriend them, envelop them in your life, make them part of you. You become part of their life and encourage and help them to grow so that they can be strong. Do you know the whole idea is to help Christian men and women, new Christians, to be able to feed themselves, to be able to care for themselves, and so that they then can mature to the point of helping to take care of others. It's all part of that whole process. Edification is an essential part of the work of the church here at Tanner. And then, so the challenge is, do your part. Do your part. And then the last one is benevolence. Benevolence is the least popular, but the easiest to do. It really is the easiest of the three. Because for benevolence, most of the time is we will fix some food, or we will give away some clothing, Or we may help somebody with a utility bill or rent or something of this nature. And so we are, in effect, giving a little bit of money. And money is the easiest thing to give. Did you know that? Somebody says, oh, wait, I don't know if money is the easiest thing. Oh, yes, it is. Money is a lot easier to give away than your time. You know, somebody says, I got more money than I do time, and I'm about broke. Well, what does that mean? It means your time is really valuable. It's been taken up. And yes, we're busy. We are the busiest we've ever been in the history of the world. We have never been more busy. The people of this country, the people of this church, are busy people. And the old saying goes, if you want something done, ask a busy person to do it. Because they're busy. They're about doing good. They go about doing all that they can. But we are indeed busy. But benevolence is ministering to the poor and the needy. And it's not limited to the physical needs, although that is the primary meeting. It also could have reference to some spiritual needs. Being helpful to the poor and the needy. In Romans 12:10-13, be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When we do benevolence, we are indeed serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Now I want you to note the given to hospitality. What it does not mean is, y'all come over for supper tonight. That's not what given to hospitality means. Well, I'm an entertaining person, and I want you to come to my house, and we're going to have a good time. That's not what hospitality in the Bible is referring to. That's what we call it here in the South, being hospitable. We're hospitable people. Well, that's fine. Southern hospitality. Yeah, I understand. But that's not what the Bible is talking about. What it means is, let me help. That's what hospitality means. Let me help. If you're one who's given to hospitality, you're one who is a help to other people. You're a person who's free with your help. You're looking for ways to help. And it's not talking about being a busybody or nosy, but it's referring to assistance that is given to a person in need. The Good Samaritan is the classic example of this, found in Luke 10, starting in verse 25. The Good Samaritan was somebody who was helpful. He was given to hospitality, even to somebody that he didn't know. And that's exactly the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be. In 1 John 3:17-18, listen carefully. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That context is talking about helping someone who is in need. That's the context. Let us love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's benevolence, folks. This is the most giving church I've ever had the privilege to work with. Of the six congregations that I've been minister for in my life, this, without a doubt, is the most giving church. You help more people. You do more good. When a need arises, Tanner arises. And I commend you for that. How much more like Jesus can somebody be than to help people both in and out of the church? How much more like Jesus can you be? Matthew chapter 9 illustrates how like Jesus we are. In Matthew 9:36, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We need to continue to do all the good that we can, but we also need to pray that God will send more laborers, that more people will get involved in the process of helping. There are more requests for help that come in to this church than most of you will ever realize. there are more people desperate for assistance. This is one reason why this number over here is not over there. I keep forgetting it got taken off. The number that's in the bulletin, I'm assuming it's in the bulletin. Hilda, shake your head one way or the other. Is it in, where is it? I don't even see her. It's in the bulletin. Good. The contribution. I've gone around the world, Henry, to say it. The contribution is so important because there are more people desperate need right now than at any time that I can remember in recent history. Now, I know in the Great Depression, and there was nothing great about it, there was an incredible amount of need, and churches across this land rose to the occasion. After the storms have hit in our community and in other places, Tanner has risen to the occasion and money has been given and needs have been met. But we need to continue to give on Sunday so that there is funds available to help with those that are in need. Now, efforts are made to filter the requests because there is a pretty high percentage of people that are considered professional beggars. They live off the goodness of others. They are leeches on a church and a community. They will not work. They will not provide for themselves. They expect others to take care of them. And this is becoming a nationwide epidemic. And what's happening is, and I'm not getting political, I'm simply making an observation of fact, there is a growing percentage of people in this country who are depending upon the men and women who are working and productive and bringing home funds to feed and take care of their families to tax them so that they can be having what you have earned. Okay? There is a growing number of leeches in our society. And so there are a lot of calls that come in from people of that stripe, of that caliber, that are nothing really than more than professional beggars. And we're trying to weed through those without causing any harm at all. But brethren, the philosophy here has been, and the elders have expressed this philosophy as long as I have worked with them, that we would rather help 10 people who are taking advantage of us than to fail to help one person who truly is in need, who truly is sincere and honestly in need. And so we will take the loss if that's the case. But we still try to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We still try to be good stewards of that which has been entrusted to us. Be assured of that. Money is not just thrown around, but it is desperately needed to help those who are truly in need around us. So the challenge is, let us do our part, each of us, to help people, whether it goes into the collection or not. As there is an opportunity to help somebody in need, help them when you can. That is a very important thing that we do. The challenge then, do your part. Now I want to close by talking about the present need. The present need. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 beginning. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit would not let them go to Asia. That's where they were going, but they wouldn't let them go. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Again, wait, aren't we supposed to take the gospel to the whole world? Who can know the mind of God? The Spirit would not let them go to Bithynia. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia according that the Lord had called us to preach. I'm sorry, I'll read this right in a minute. Concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. They were trying to go to Asia. Nope, can't go there. Tried to go to Bithynia. Nope, can't go there. Got a vision, the call to Macedonia. Come over and help us. Brethren, we call that the Macedonian call. And it is indeed something that causes us to stop and wonder. There are times when we have plans, when the things that we want to do individually or as a congregation, and sometimes those plans get redirected. Paul went through that very thing right here as he faced the Macedonian call. Paul and those with him then went to Macedonia by God's direction to preach the gospel to these people. It was to help them. Now, building houses and digging wells is good and needed, but that's not the help that God directed them to give. Medical and dental clinics, that's a right and a good thing that should be done, but that is not what Paul and his associates were sent to Macedonia to do. Helping to educate children and improving the life conditions for people on this earth is a good work. But the gospel of Christ is the only thing that will help people to be saved. The gospel of Christ is the only thing that should be our desire. It should be at the forefront of everything we seek to do. I know that there are mission efforts that are made in Central and South America to take people to build houses, to dig wells, to improve schools, to educate children, to improve people's lives. But these, if they are not preaching the gospel while they're there, they are, hear me well, they are wasting a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity. If you're there out of a benevolent spirit to help the lives of people and you don't share the gospel with them, what good have you done? What good have you done? Okay, their life is a little easier, but they're not going to heaven. You haven't done your job if that's what you're there for. No, our job is to take the gospel to people, and we can use these vehicles. We can use these methods, digging wells and building houses, medical clinics and school opportunities. We can do this to help get people's attention. But ultimately the goal is the preaching of the gospel. When Jesus fed the people with the 5 loaves and when he fed them with the loaves and the fishes, he preached to them. He preached to them. When all the good that was done, when people were healed, when the dead were raised, when lives were changed, demons cast out, the gospel was preached in every single case. And that's what must be done. It does take blood, sweat, and tears to do God's work. Time, talent, energy is part of the price that has to be paid. Money is also a very important part of the equation because it takes money to do the good works that God requires us to do. But I want to say this about the money. In Macedonia, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 5, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction," to see, they went to Macedonia. They preached the gospel. They baptized thousands. Churches were established all over that region. And now, Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians about the churches in Macedonia. Listen. "That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." They freely gave even more than they could afford to give. They freely gave. "For I bear witness that according to their ability," yes, and beyond their ability, "they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." They gave more than anybody would have dreamed they would. They gave so much. We have opportunities. I want to tell you very quickly. The church in the Philippines is growing and growing rapidly. And there's a need for us to go over and help them. The Macedonian call has been issued. We need to go. God willing, in November, planning on November the 11th is the departure date. Henry Carter and I are going to the Philippines, God willing. We're going to need help to go. Don't expect this church to cover all the bill. Don't, not expecting that. I'm going to raise money. I'm going to send out letters to area brethren and try to raise money in addition, but we're going to desperately need help to be able to make this journey. We're going for about 10 days, and we're going to go over there and ground this church as much as we can to share with them, to teach them. Not only are we going to do this, we're going to check the work. We're going to verify that what they're saying is absolutely right. And then we're going to ground them with teaching over the entire time that we're there. They're going to be so tired of us before we leave. But we're going to share with them God's word as much as we possibly can in that time period. So we need you to be praying about it. And we need you to check your finances. And anything that you can do to help is going to be much appreciated and desperately needed, and it will all be used to the glory of God to do good. We need more people to teach Bible classes. We need more people to be teachers for Bible correspondence courses. We need to share the gospel because we have the opportunity, we have the ability, and so we have the responsibility. Now, as we close this morning, the people gave for the tabernacle. And they gave so much that Moses had to tell them to stop. That has never happened in my knowledge since. I don't know of a single time where they gave more, so much that they were told, stop, that's enough. There's so much that needs to be done. But in Exodus 36, 5 through 7, the people were bringing more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord had commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man or woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had brought was indeed too much. That's amazing. I would love for that to be the case about the work that we're trying to do in the kingdom of Christ. The work that this church is trying to do. I would love to hear, look, that this is too much. I would love that. Brethren, we've got lots to do. Let's be evangelistic. Let's encourage and edify. Let us be ready to do the benevolence to all the good we can and do no harm at all. Is your life right with God? Is your life hid with Christ in God? The gospel is essential to your salvation. If you don't obey the gospel, you will not go to heaven. And if you don't remain faithful to your Lord, you will not go to heaven. And part of that faithfulness is faithful service to the Lord. The evangelism, the edification, the benevolence. Coming to services is just part, but it really isn't the work of the church. Coming to services is a part of our worship, or it is our worship to God. But it's not the work that we do. Our work is done after services, after the last amen. That's when the work starts. So I want to encourage you to work for the Lord. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. And if you're not right with the Lord, please come today. If you need to come, do so now as we stand and as we sing.